comments on the struggle for the commons. On the move. Long live John Africa. I thank you all for your kind invitation to address your Racial Justice Day of Actions of the Reclaim the Commons mobilization there in San Francisco. I salute the many groups and movements that are gathered there today to help make this event a success of uniting social movements. As we gather here, almost all of us stand in the shadows cast from the dungeons of Abu Ghraib Gulag, where America showed the world a new side of the so-called war on terror. The pictures emerging from Abu Ghraib, not to mention the thousands we have never seen, are the clearest reflection of the racist hatred, the twisted, power-drunk treatment of people in the grips of U.S. martial and police power. As I said in a recent commentary, Abu Ghraib is us, for it is but a dark reflection of what happens away from the cameras, in the prisons across the country, and in dimly lit police stations, where a hidden war takes place against the black and the brown and the poor who happen to fall into their foul clutches. Thank goodness there was a camera. For just like the vicious beating of Rodney King, just like the videotape beating of Delbert Africa, if there were no cameras, we would never have seen the vicious pummeling these men took. That's because most of us know, but few of us want to admit, that there are several Americas, one for people of means and wealth, one for white people of substance. Yet there is another America for people in the so-called inner city, in the ghettos and the barrios of America, where driving while black, riding while black, and sometimes walking while black is a crime, one that may quickly become a capital crime. The case of Amadou Diallo of New York showed that answering one's door while black carried a death penalty. And the case of Abner Louima, a Haitian-American in New York City, showed us that the twisted psychosexual abuses of power and human dignity doesn't just happen in Baghdad, Iraq. What poisoned the air in Abu Ghraib lives in the hearts of too many Americans and poisons the lives of too many people here as well. We live not in the cradle of democracy, but in the prison house of nations. What else can we call America with her 2.1 million men, women, and juveniles in American prisons today? How can we feign surprise when one of the most vile, most depraved persons at Abu Ghraib works in his day job as a Pennsylvania prison guard? Where do you think he learned his twisted expertise? I respect and support the Reclaim the Commons movement, for here, in the villages and towns of Europe, the notion of commonality, of community property in lands, woods, and streams was shattered by the bourgeoisie, terrorized by the violence of the landowners, and corralled into what was the beginnings of the working class. It is right and proper for us to reclaim that ancient human communal right. Yet for far too many black Americans, the right to drive, to ride, to even walk is not respected, and that ancient human right is still not theirs to share. For many of them who own no lands, they long for the right to have bodily integrity in the land of their birth. For them, freedom is just another prison. We can change this, but it will take all of us, and we must be committed to the destruction of the corrosive of white supremacy. That will be a step towards reclaiming that which is common to us all, our humanity. In Europe, some 300 years ago, a pre-Marxist socialist named Gerard Winstanley was part of a group who went to George's Hill in Surrey, England. And these folks dug with their spades and their shovels and their spoons into the earth to symbolize the earth's common inheritance. Winstanley said, quote, "The earth shall be made a common treasury of livelihood to whole mankind without respect of persons," unquote. But as we all know, Winstanley's noble vision did not come to pass. The common people, the poor, did not inherit the earth. They fell to the forces of greed, and under the weight of legality, they fought hard, but they lost. As Francis Fox Piven and the late Richard Clarke put it in their 1985 book, The New Class War, quote, "They did not lose because landowners were immune to burning and poaching and rioting. They lost because the usurpations of owners were regularly defended by the legal authority in the armed forces of the state. It was the state that imposed increased taxes or enforced the payment of increased rents and evicted or jailed those who could not pay the resulting debts, It was the state that made lawful the appropriation of landowners of the forests, streams, and commons, and imposed terrifying penalties on those who persisted in claiming the old rights to these resources. It was the state that freed serfs or emancipated sharecroppers, only to leave them landless, unquote. Now, we stand on the precipice of a new taking of the commons, a commodification of the very basis of life, of the very gene pool. If we lose this war, we won't just fall into the alienation of the working class. We'll see the emergence of that which can only be termed post-human life. We must reclaim the commons for the goodness of human and indeed non-human life. And we must fight harder than those who fought in the 1600s before us. We must fight for all of life. For if this trend continues, life itself will be extinguished in the greed of the corporate class. Reclaim the commons. I'm with that. On the move. Long live John Africa. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.